This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Stuff last night. Martin's getting a nice comeback win for their opener. Great to see Sandy Alcantara out there throwing just a tad under 100 mile an hour fastballs and getting to see, and I thought it was important, and apparently Derek Jeter didn't agree with this, but what they're doing now, LeVon Hernandez, Charles Johnson, Jeff Conine, and getting some of the former great players back with the organization. LeVon and Charles spent some time with them last night, and Jeff, whose son was also playing, good guys, man, that if you've been around and you follow the Marlins and those guys, big part of it. So it's good to see they're back with the organization and everything else, man, you get with the home opener.
So everybody that got threw away by the old Jeter regime gets to come back now?
I think Derek Jeter wanted to turn this into a Yankees, like somehow he thought, I
Yankee
don't know.
Yankee South.
Yeah.
Just like all New Yorkers. They think this is New York South.
So it was good to kind of get some of the guys back. And listen, it was bad, the Jeter stuff and the way he handled so many things. And I know he's popular and he should be the
captain.
How do we
think that was going to be good? That's the important question that I need.
The problem is, just because you're a great player, you can't just throw a guy in and make him the president of a team and think he knows what he's doing just because, you know, he was a good leader. And a clutch player.
He should know what a team
is. And one of the great shortstops of all time does not mean you can run a team.
He should know how to evaluate talent or know how to.
So I disagree with that.
You disagree with that?
I don't think necessarily great players can evaluate talent. Number one, Michael Jordan, nothing against you. And number two, I don't think they have patience to always be great coaches.
No. Okay. Larry Bird was probably a great who ended up being a pretty good coach. But I don't think I can find you many more greats. I think we found a lot of role players. Pat Riley was a role player, ended up being a great coach. Jerry West built great
teams. Jerry West was good at what he did at all of it.
Yeah.
He had a figure. I'm not saying 100% across the board. But Derek Jeter wanted to sit up in that front office, and he don't want to meet with
yeah. You got a lot. You know this. There's a lot of handshaking and a lot of, you know, baby kissing when you're running an organization or even just associated with an organization. You don't want to do that, then you definitely don't want to do the role.
I'll just say this about Jeter, and I've taken some shots at him. He's a great player. You can never take away as one of the great New York Yankees. and the tradition to be there and the championships and being the captain and the leader of that team and the clutch hits and all. I never take that away from him. In the Big Apple, you know, under the brightest lights, he did it all. But he was a disaster down here, a disaster.
Yeah.
From top to bottom.
I mean,
I don't want to get into all the things and salespeople asking him to come down and meet with sponsors. He couldn't even go to, you know, he's too busy. What are you doing? What, you building up? You know, it was terrible. I had no problem with that owner saying, goodbye, Derek, take care. You can stay down and live wherever you want, or you can get your ass out of here. I don't really care. That's kind of how I feel about Derek Jeter. Doesn't take away from anything he did in his career, but he sucked running this thing.
Let me ask you this question, and I know you just caught the first pitch for the Marlins game, because
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but yes, I did.
They clearly just treated you very well.
Oh, no, I had it nice last night.
Yeah, I know. You lived the life, okay?
One game. I feel like you're getting ready to hit with me that I do the radio broadcast for the Dolphins.
Like
all of a sudden that changes how I talk about everybody.
Okay, all right. What do you think? Because I have a special place in my heart for the Marlins. Because of the Marlins, I got my first job ever. Because of the Marlins, I got to watch sports for a living as a child and get paid for it. Okay, I have a special place in my heart for the Marlins. They've won two championships down here, two different, completely, you know, two very special runs. But it's been a toxic situation for this community, for this fan base. What do you think this present regime, this present team can do to change the way the local community and people feel about that organization, which is probably a level of distrust?
Yes, 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 and yes. They're not spending any money.
Yeah.
They're asking for...
Even if they spent money, we would still distrust them.
They're asking for patience, and we were talking last night, I said, we need some of all these draft trades that we've made for a lot of minor league prospects and some guys that have dabbled at young age in the big leagues, got a few, so we need some of these guys to be everyday players that are really good, and we got to keep them. So I don't know if that's going to happen. I'd be lying to you if I said that was going to happen, because it's never happened, and the market... Barry Jackson actually did a really good job. I also saw his article a couple of days ago on this whole thing. And we're spending whatever amount. It's not very much. And then you got the Dodgers out there spending. And the Yankees, they spend. Philadelphia,
But the spending is not going to get us to buy back in or trust them.
Well, so that's the question. I don't know. That if they are really good again, does that mean does that mean we're going to draw $25,000 a game? I don't know. I didn't even say 30. Say, are they going?
They made the playoffs a couple of years ago,
and they didn't draw well.
And they didn't draw well.
They didn't draw well.
That's because of the broken trust.
Well, the biggest problem they have is the people that used to really like baseball and were so glad when this thing first started. It drew $3 million and $2.5 million the first couple of years. When it was brand new, I was here and there. And they lost a lot of fans through the years. Had nothing to do with this ownership, but they lost a lot. And the trust and all the guys you've gotten rid of, not these guys, but you got rid of. They had the best outfield in baseball not too many years ago. You had Stanton, Yelich, and Ozuna, who, by the way, is still really good with Atlanta Braves, still hits a lot of home runs and still playing a high level. Yelich won an MVP when he left, and Stanton has hit. Now he's broken down, but they didn't draw well with that group, with that best offensive outfield in baseball. And they couldn't. So I don't know. Can you get them back? Can you ever get 20? Can you ever get? I'd ask everybody out there on the text machine, 305-567-0560. Can this team, if they did hit on some prospects and bring some guys in and had a good team, could they draw 25,000 a night?
I think you're being a little aggressive asking for 25,000. 20? 20.
I don't know. Good product, though. You think about it. Look what the World Baseball Classic does. It's a good product, and it sells out
you
every game.
I know, but you can't do that. You can't do you can't talk about. I've been to Puerto Rico and Dominican playing each other, and I went to one night and watched Dominican Republic play the USA. That's a bad example.
Because it's an event. It's an event.
And by the way,
we are an event town.
Nothing bigger in a Dominican Republic than baseball. And we're playing with our best players. And you get that, then it's a different deal. Just different deal. But you're right. They sell, but it's loud. Pots and pans, bam, bam, Cuba. I mean, it's phenomenal. I don't know why I threw Cuba in. I don't even know if they were here.
The level of distrust that this community has, which is warranted, it's earned. I just don't know if we'll ever trust them again. And until
you're saying David Sampson and Jeffrey Loria did this to everybody,
pretty much. And not only that, but the location of the stadium, like
worked when it was the football stadium in Orange Bowl.
That's true, but that was for one event a week. On the weekend. You're asking me to drive there through rush hour traffic to get to a game, and there's no public transportation that I could take that'll get me there.
You got a lot of transportation to get you there now. They have a lot of things you can do. My son-in-law takes from Fort Lauderdale.
There's what, a Brightline?
Takes that. Takes it Brightline. He's got the whole thing down.
And then they got a bus that takes you from Brightline to the game?
Yeah. There's ways to get there. I know we're a little spoiled down here, but if it's good enough, your ass will go. If it's something you really want to see, you will go.
Now you got to throw on a Brightline tax associated with it. I mean,
Baseball got their hands full to catch back up.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm not saying it. They got their hands full. They're not the Panthers. Of course, none of us are the Panthers. None of us right now are the Panthers.
No.
Nobody. Yep. And by the way, Panthers are still in first place, and they got three veteran players that haven't played yet. Matter of fact, Marchand did they say all day that Marchand might be back tonight?
In true hockey style, they haven't said anything for sure, but that's the...
He's getting close, though.
Yeah, that's pretty much the rumor that it's going to happen
tonight.
The
old Bruins captain, man, be down here. Oh, that's going to be awesome. And then Matthew Tkachuk, haven't heard anything, but I got a feeling he's coming back. And then got a guy coming back from... Ekblad from a little slip up. That's all you can do is say, I'm sorry. I messed up. That's all you can do. Hey, we got to go to break, man. I'm running late here. Try to get all caught up. Appreciate you being with us here this morning. And Gator fans got to feel pretty good. 87-71 win. They're what everybody thought they were. They look like a friggin' number one seed. Gators. Duke also got a nice win last night. Now we got to find out if Houston and Auburn can join the party as the number one seeds. Haven't seen it since 2008. Thank you for letting us know that we were wrong. By the way, that was all day Dan Day. That was not me. I didn't even look it up. He goes, no way.
I was sleeping in 2008. I'm sorry.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good for business, what happened on Monday with the Cam Ward Pro Day, with everybody else. Listen, I just said that because Cam Ward brought in a lot of extra faces from the NFL for his workout.
I will tell you this, and it's great that the University of Miami is back at the level where they're having their Pro Day televised live. That's great. Cam Ward, obviously the number one pick, and I think you will see Cam Ward be locked in as the number one pick right after this owners meeting because – for people to understand what the owners meeting is, let me break it down to you. Imagine your company gives you and your family a paid vacation for spring break. You get to come to the Breakers, which is probably one of the best hotels in all of America. And, you know, you get meetings till noon, and then while your family's at the poolside, hanging out, doing their thing. Later that Sunday night, there's a nice big party. I think it's Monday night. There's a nice big party that everybody throws. And, you know, the next day, you Ross is going to throw his own party, by the way. I'm sure that's kind of tradition when he's in Palm Beach.
They're all in Palm Beach. They all have homes there. I can't believe all the owners have. That's just a
summer home, Joe.
I get it.
Yeah.
Mr. Kraft's there.
That's true. Yeah, forgot about the incidents that he'd have in Palm Beach every,
That's kind of woke everybody up to that. Yeah.
A little bit. But
they got a lot of business to take care of.
But here's my point. You'll be at the, and I'll be there too, at the party. And at the party, or while we're sitting here in these meetings, I'm going to slide you a note with a little offer for your number one pick, just in case, you're the Giants or you're the Cleveland Browns. We're gonna see if we can get that pick. And if we can't do it by the owners meeting, and I think it was done at Kane's Pro Day. I think the Giants had a conversation with Tennessee at Kane's Pro Day. They realized that number one pick is not going to be movable, and they moved on and they signed Russell Wilson. Because there's no coincidence that the next day after the Pro Day, where both Tennessee and the Giants are there, they all talk. They're all friends. And if you can't come up off the pick, or you can't make a reasonable deal, then I got to make a contingency plan. So I am I've always believed this, back from maybe the third game I saw. The arm angles that Cam Ward throws these accurate darts, and the poison presence and moxie that he plays with, that alpha dog mentality.
Yeah.
If you don't want that as your quarterback, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
So I've always thought he was going to be the number one pick. Now, the question is, will they move Will Levis? And I think that there's going to be a team that's give you a second round pick for Will Levis, because I think he's a pretty good quarterback.
Wait a second. You think Will Levis is going to get a second round pick?
Yeah, I think you can.
I'll take a lunch. We'll have a lunch bet on that one.
Okay, maybe a third. But
Wait. You just said second.
Okay, but
no. You
hold
know
on. Pittsburgh is probably the only team that hasn't addressed their quarterback position. And
there's a bunch of teams right now that don't have a quarterback.
Who? Name them.
Cleveland needs a quarterback.
Cleveland
needs a quarterback.
Yeah. You're right.
The $230 million man, they owe him the money, but they ain't.
He's broken down.
He's done again this year.
Oof. Yeah, no. Didn't they sign somebody? Who'd they sign? They latched on to
whoever
old has been.
Not good enough.
No, you're right. But they probably feel like they could get Shador. Obviously, you're not going to get Cam. Like everybody's of the opinion, Kenny Pickett. Oh, you're right. Okay, Kenny Pickett. Yeah, that's
Kenny's been bounced around.
Yeah.
He just got bounced from his hometown to there.
Yeah, bounced from hometown to somewhere else, then to there.
So anyway, I I don't know how much the owners actually go back and forth, but I do agree with the second part. The GMs are talking nonsense. That's Chris Greer's job. Chris Greer, people going. So sometimes he was getting a bad rap. Oh, you talk to this, and Chris goes, and it's true. My job is to talk to everybody.
Yep.
Got to find out what's out there. People ask me. I ask other people. I'll go to another team to ask about another guy.
Yep.
They've got relationships. Chris Greer has been in this league since 2000, 2001, 2002. Since we haven't won a playoff game, he's been part of this team.
I hate how that goes on his resume. He's been here for a lot of it. So
I'm just saying he's been here the same amount of time as his won a playoff.
Yeah, I know. The
drive. It's not all on him. I know if people go, oh, that's a shot at him. No, I'm just saying. But he had money. He's had some of those years. And
He's been in a position of power since, I believe, 2007.
He's gotten a great hall pass.
I just got to laugh at that, Joe.
Anyway, he just got to have a good draft. I know he's doing the drafting. It's his baby.
That's his thing. That's his thing. It's always been his thing. He'll let some people take the lead on free agency, but the draft, those are his babies. Now,
by the way, he's responsible for everything.
He is.
You can say whoever free agent or any guy we pick up,
but you know who he is, Joe, and that's exactly
still,
how
at
he
the
got
end of
the
day,
job.
Well, listen, I bring everybody in, and if you don't want this guy, your name's on the final say. So don't be running around telling everybody, well, this is the guy he wanted. I really like this other guy. No, you're the GM.
That's true. Good and bad. But he'll, and that's what I like and respect about him. Like he'll give.
He's a good guy.
He'll give Mike McDaniel credit for Devon Achane. He'll. That's Mike's guy. He'll give Mike the credit. He doesn't take the credit for wins. He doesn't take the you
no,
know
he doesn't
and he doesn't shy away from taking the blame for the losses. Now, for instance, I know for a fact that Noah Igbinoghene was Brian Flores's pick. That is who Brian Flores wanted. I know that for a fact. It's not debatable. Chris Grier take ownership for it.
He's a GM.
Yeah.
He's a GM.
He's a GM.
Omar, you're trying to tell me why we can, if we go by what you're saying, we should just keep Chris Grier and just say, hey, the job's never going to open because
How do you think he got the job?
Head coach wanted him.
How do you think he got the job? He works well with everybody.
Let me ask you a question. Why would you give a head coach who's never been a head coach full authority to pick players and have final say on players? How would you ever do that?
Because it's his nature, man. It's his nature.
Well, listen, I ain't going down because of that. And by the way, he knows how to play the game. Don't get me wrong. It's obvious.
He's a professional at it. Listen.
And being actually being a good human being helps a lot because he is a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But this business is not about good guys.
Yeah, but this business is also filled with egomaniacs.
Of course. Look at us. Look at you and me.
It's filled with egomaniacs. He is not an egomaniac. I respect that. Now,
listen, man. If you don't think he's got, come on. Now stop.
You're saying he's got ego?
Come on.
I ain't seen it.
Everybody got ego.
Everybody got
you
ego.
What he's making? What his position is, there's only 32 of them flying a lot.
Yeah.
He ain't flying in the back of airplanes. He's flying all these jobs are done on private planes. Don't tell me he doesn't have ego. That changes you. I'm not saying it changed your fundamental father, son, husband.
I knew him when he was a grunt, and he is still the same dude.
All right.
He wears the same damn hat.
Okay. Like that doesn't mean anything. What kind of hat you wear? I see him with that jacket and that hat on. He ain't showing his head, but it doesn't mean you haven't changed. That doesn't mean there's a lot of ego under that hat. You can't be in this business in the NFL if you don't have ego.
I think he's taking a lot of lickings. And
he isn't taking lickings. He's been on a hall pass till recently.
Oh, he's taking some licks. Recently, he's taking some licks.
Yeah, but not...
Not floggings. Not like Jeff Ireland floggings, but he's...
That guy deserved it, too. We can go through the list of you deserve it. And Ireland's right there at the top of that list. Hey, we got to go to break here, man. See, now you got me all jacked up just gripping and ripping like I got the driver out here trying to hit it down the middle and have no idea how to do it. After spring football, everything's opening up again. Guys are going, I don't look like I fit in. Not happy. Wanted to see who's throwing. All that stuff.
So, I mean, make sure your contract's good. If team's worried about losing you, make sure they got a good contract.
Well, some guys, if that's the case, are going on.
It's like free agency every day.
I'll stay here till I don't seem to have anything out there unless my marketing guy can do it. You know, it's great. The marketing thing. Yeah. So all the NFL agents, Drew and everybody else, Drew Rosenhaus, they had to start a marketing department to go out and do NIL deals for all these guys.
Drew's always had a marketing department.
Look what Drew's been able to do now. So Drew got all those guys. He didn't get Cam Ward, but he got a lot of those University of Miami guys that will get drafted.
Drew's always had a lot of University of Miami guys. Him and Malky, they run things over there. You know,
he's always done a good job.
It's hard for a lot of other agents to come into that community and try to take guys from UM because Drew don't tolerate that.
Well,
you're not coming in his backyard and taking flowers from his garden.
He's always got a lot of a lot of Miami Dolphin players,
mm-hmm.
and he gets a lot of Miami Dolphin players on their second deal too.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a lot of guys. Zach Sealer, one of those guys in the last few years.
But it's not just Drew. There's a whole team of guys, especially now with the NIL. There's a whole team of guys that work under Drew, and you know, I have a ton of respect for Drew just because of I've seen what he does for decades around here, and I've seen how he makes sure his guys are taken care of, including Zach Sealer, who is probably going to be pushing for a new deal, and probably is pushing for a new deal as we speak. and is worthy of it, considering he's probably the most underpaid player in the NFL.
Look at where he started and where he is. You talk about good stories. I know we sit here and we've been talking about filling up this team with good players and stuff, but Zach Seeler is one of the really, really good stories on this team.
Absolutely.
And by the way, Chris, and that hadn't been brought up.
That Chris found him?
Chris found him. Chris also did bring in some really good veteran free agents. I thought he got two great players from the Atlanta Falcons last year in Jonnu Smith and Calais Campbell, and the way they both played, just unbelievable for what we're paying them. No, that was a good job. And I thought Jordan Brooks really good at middle linebacker.
Absolutely.
Had a really good season, worth every dime.
The center was pretty good too. I mean,
he was a good pick. And you're right. He was. For the system they run, he's really good.
And I think you put some guards, a little bit better guards next to him, you get to see him excel. I don't have an issue with how he played last year. It's just everybody else on the line. And as I wrote in the Miami Herald, giving a plug to the story that I wrote, because it's true. Everybody has their focus on Tua. Tua's probably item number 9 of what's wrong with this team.
Where's Tua's health fit in then, if it's 9? Or is that a separate category?
That's a separate category. Health is up there for the entire team, but Tua has to stay healthy. But Joe, let me.
Well, not a lot of teams don't have to have this conversation.
You're correct. You're fine. You're correct. There's accuracy in everything say. But you know what would help Tua stay healthy? It may be if you put a respectable offensive line in front of him.
I'm not going to blame the offensive line for him.
Okay.
I'm not.
All right.
He's got a slide.
Yeah.
He's got to slide better. He's got to slide earlier.
Yeah.
Some of the hits, you're right. I'm not completely like sometimes you get hit and you get hurt.
But you know what? It would help if you didn't have a guy playing right tackle for his very first game against Houston in the game that Tua's body broke down in.
That was the hip, yes.
It would help. That would certainly help you, right? Good start. Good starting point.
He was not ready to play.
No. I'm sorry. The whole line was not ready to play that game. And
so
we were still in it.
We had a maximum amount of tackles out in that game.
Yeah. Teron was out. Lamb was out.
Yeah.
You had to start.
Austin Jackson had been out all year.
Half the year.
So
yes.
You were. But you were down to 4-5.
Yeah. You had the guy in the practice squad 2 weeks ago, elevated him up for the practice squad 2 weeks ago.
So how many guys are you going to get? I mean, the talent's going to drop off.
You need about 4 more guys.
The talent's going to drop off at tackle. You might be able to cover up a guard a little bit.
And Kendall Lamb left too. Kendall Lamb decided to sign with the Eagles. He said he wanted to go out on his own terms, which I can understand that.
Okay, so get to the other things on your article. I'm sorry.
No.
You were defending. I saw the article.
Yes, I was defending Tua, as I'm going to continue to defend Tua, because he is not the problem. Can he stay healthy? No. Does he need to stay healthy? Absolutely. But
everybody's going to get hit.
Exactly.
I can't tell you he's going to have a clean uniform every game. It's not going to happen.
It would help if you gave him an offensive line that could actually this is when I knew there was a problem with the season. When we were talking to him about his offensive line, and he basically, his response is, "Don't worry, brother, I get the ball out of my hand fast."
He did say that.
Huh? That's your defense of this line? Don't worry about it, brother. I get the ball out of my hand fast because I got to, because these guys suck.
You're not blaming all this. And again, every time you're going to say this, and I hear you. It wasn't.
That line sucked. You built that line and it sucked.
Let me ask you.
You knew it sucked too.
You're not giving him any, like, he can't stay. I'm not saying it's his fault, but he's not a durable dude.
No, I know. But you chose him as an organization knowing he wasn't
okay. Well, then that's not his fault either. That is not his fault.
It is kind of his fault, because I didn't even agree with the approach that I'm going to lose weight, cut out sugars, get smaller, become smaller Tua, and start running around because I need to extend plays. I don't want you extending plays. I don't, because that's how you got hurt at Alabama. I don't want you extending plays. I want you to see the pressure, just like you did in 2023. I want you to see the pressure coming, and I want you to drop to the ground. Throw the ball away, drop to the ground.
By the way, how's that going to go over on third and seven? Third and seven.
Well, you're complaining about him running and scrambling and getting scrambled by Hamlin. He did that on fourth down in the red zone, trying to drive his team back.
Right.
And he's not going to change how he plays. I want him to do that.
He's got to do that. He's got to get first downs. He's a competitive guy.
Okay.
All the rest of those guys, they do the same thing. They just don't get hurt.
What
are you going to do?
You got the scramble at quarterback.
He tackles a guy run down the sideline after he throws a pick.
And that's what he's got to do. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Give yourself a chance. Give your team a chance. You won the game, right? That could have been seven. It was seven against Houston.
But he could have got knocked out, too.
All right. I don't want to play scared. He told you he's not going to play scared. Now.
So how are you going to do? But these are all connected. And you're only seeing part of this. I see where women get frustrated with you right now when they're trying to make a conversation. Like, you're kind of saying one thing and then the other for Tua. Like, Tua's got to be competitive. That's what makes him when he does play.
I don't want him to change anything that he does. If he goes down, okay, we're all screwed.
You can't just drop back and throw it and everything's going to be timing. Everybody's offense.
So you want him scrambling?
Well, he's going to have to keep plays alive. Everybody does. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are constantly outside the pocket.
They selectively do that.
That's not true.
They do it on third downs. They do it in the fourth quarter. They do it.
They get flushed out, too. They get flushed out.
And a lot of times they throw the ball away. They don't. Patrick Mahomes ain't scrambling all season. I didn't say there was. I want you to
throw the ball. I'd like to see Tua throw the ball away more. I agree. That was a knock, too.
I agree with you on that.
Since we're doing the little knock on Tua.
But he's trying to buy people time to get open.
That's how you make big plays.
Yeah, that's how you make big plays and also how you get hurt.
Well, you're going to tell the fan base, Tua, just stay in there.
Yep. Build him a brick wall, stay in there, protect him. He's the most fragile quarterback in the NFL. How do you give him a poop line 2 years in a row? Because right now, Liam Eichenberg is your starter.
Stop with that.
No.
Name
me another starter. Who's starting?
If Liam Eichenberg has to come back and start the season at guard, we owe our fan base an apology before the season starts. Liam Eichenberg's got to start. And by the way, they ought to have Chris Greer at the front of that friggin' line talking to everybody doing that. Don't let his ass hide with that hat and stand in front of everybody and explain how Liam Eichenberg's a starter. We got to go to break here. We got 8 o'clock hour coming up. Hey, Dan Radakovich going to join us at 8:20. I knew this was going to happen having you in here today. You just got me. You got it rolling now, boy, on that. I saw that article. I was just waiting to get that article going here, man. You are beautiful.